for smoking, you smell, even if you don't. If you go in a room, people love Jesus so much. You can feel the presence of God. It's all over you. So go to places where people love God, worship God, because it will touch your life. So this morning I'm going to talk we've been talking for the whole month on hearing God's voice, the prophetic, and what do we do when we receive a prophetic word. And this morning I'm going to continue on dreams that I've talked the last time. I'm just going to talk a little bit about what we've talked the last time, because some of you were not here. It almost feels like we are in a church that work in shift. Some people work shift this week and you have a new brand of people, and then the next week you have a new bunch of people. But anyway, so for those who were not here, I'm just going to recap very quickly what I talked the last time. We talked about what is dream, the definition of dream. Dream is viewing images on the screen within our mind. When you are sleeping, that is what dream is all about. It is something that we don't seem to have control over. As much as we want to have control over everything, this one, we don't seem to have control over it. And vision is the opposite. It's when you're awake. So, you know, all of us, we do dream. Although some of us, we think that we do not dream, all of us, we dream. It's just that we do not remember our dream. That's the only thing. We all dream, and we all dream an average of 1 to 2 hours a day. And I've talked a little bit about the 90-minute cycle, where the first part of our sleep is very light. We call it the alpha, and then the tetra, and then the delta. And usually we dream during the alpha period, where it's like a very, where there's a very rapid eye movement. Have you ever seen somebody sleeping and the eye go back and forth like that? That's called the alpha part, and that's where we usually dream. And there's a 90-minute period, and then it goes the next 90-minute period. You don't dream 10 minutes, you dream a little bit more. And scientifically, it has been proven if somebody do not sleep, they go cuckoo. It's not good for your health. That's why doctors do give medication for people to sleep. We need to sleep. It's part of the way we've been built up. We have to sleep. We cannot not sleep. And in the Bible, the total number of dreams and vision in the Bible is like, it's about a third of the Bible. A third of the Bible is almost the size of the New Testament. And if, like, the whole book of Revelation is about John having a vision. So really, dream and vision is a big part of the Bible. For some reason, the church having taught about that, it's because, you know what, I feel like the enemy want to cut that source of communication. And dream is very powerful. So why do we listen to our dreams? Because God says he's going to speak through dreams and vision. In Numbers 12:6, he said, "Hear my word. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream." He said that he's going to do that. Why do we listen to dream? Because God said that he will communicate through dreams and vision. In Joel 2, verse 28, what does it say? It says, "And it shall come to pass that in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon some flesh, the holy flesh, all flesh." So we all are qualified if we have some flesh. I have a little bit more than I wish, but you know what? We are all qualified for that. So he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. That's why the Christian and the non-Christian, they all dream, because it's all flesh, okay? And your son and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see vision, and your old men shall dream dreams. Why do we listen to our dreams? Because he declares that he's going to counsel at night for dreams. I mean, you get counseling from the King of Kings. Who won't go for that? In Psalm 16, verse 7, he said, "I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. My heart also instruct me in the night season." In other versions, he said, "I will bless the Lord, my God, and he counseled me at night when I'm sleeping." So that's one of the reasons we listen to dreams. And dreams call us to change so that we do not perish. If you turn your Bible to Genesis 20, verse 1 to 18, I'm going to tell you about the story of Abimelech. What happened is that Abimelech, Abraham and Sarah, they went, and Abraham said, "You know what? She's my sister.
How many know that he's partly right because he's assisting the Lord? But that's not the whole truth. The Bible says, you shall know the whole truth and the whole truth shall set you free. And Abimelech was about to take Sarah. And at night, he had a dream. And the Lord said, Abimelech, don't do that. Abimelech was like, you know what? They told me. She's my sister. God said, if you do that, not only you will be destroyed, but the people, your people will be destroyed as well. So God talked to him through a dream. So dreams really, it called us to change. And Abimelech, thank God, he listened and obeyed. If he did not obey, what would happen? Not good things are going to happen. So dreams call us to change so that we do not perish. That's one other reason why we listen to our dreams. Another reason why we listen to our dreams, because God does significant things for dreams. If you know what, it will be, I encourage you to do it from Genesis to Revelation. Look at all the dreams and vision that is from Genesis to Revelation. You'll be amazed at the way God speaks to people. God has so many different ways that he does that. And one of the things, one of the significant things that he does for dreams is that Solomon got wisdom for a dream. Gideon won the war because God allowed his ear to be able to listen to a dream, and he had strategies and he was able to win the war. In Genesis 15, verse 12, the Abrahamic covenant was through a dream. Sometimes I think God has to, we have to sleep, because if we don't, we talk back for some reason. We're like, oh, we argue with God. God is like, you know what? Sleep, and then I'm going to do my thing. That's why we don't have control over that. And these are some of the reasons why we really need to listen to our dreams, because dreams is a form of communication that as Christian, many of us, we have kind of put it aside. And did you know that a lot of the different different religion, they use dreams, but they have a different medium and it's not the Holy Spirit. But dream belong to us as Christian. We all dream and we need to pay attention to that. And today I'm going to speak more specifically about the dream interpretation. Since we all have dreams, it's good to be able to understand why we dream about those things, what does these dreams meant. Dreams are very reliable messengers. And, I just want to make it very clear here. Not all dreams are from God. And that you will find it in Job 4, verse 12 to 21. You will find that Eliphaz, that's a perfect example where the demon was speaking accusation over him, and that led to destruction. Saying that is actually the only part of the Bible where when they had a dream, it's not from God. So not all dreams are from God, but I would say 90% of our dreams could actually be from God. We just need to interpret it rightly. It's the interpretation, I think, that very often is not correct. So what I'm going to talk about some of the principle of from dream interpretation. Some of the time we dream because, you know, like I said the last time, because of the pizza that we had last time. We ate too much, you know. So principle for dream interpretation. Most dreams are symbolic. I'm going to explain to you what I mean by that later on. And 95% of dreams is about me, it's about you. If you dream about something, even though you dream about somebody else, it's really about you. I'm going to show you in the Bible, I'm going to bring about 10 or 12 passages in the Bible where you will see that they had dreams and it's about themselves, although they dream about something else, but the Lord is talking to them about their own life. Dreams is about your inner self, your current situation or relationship. Your dream come from the heart, from your heart, and will express the things that are important to you. Because the vast majority of dream is about yourself, you know, you need to learn to understand how we interpret dreams with the assumption that it's not about somebody else that you're dealing with, okay? So I'm going to give you a list of all the biblical dreams that demonstrate this principle when I say most dreams are symbolic. And 95% it's about you. In Genesis 15, verse 1 to 21, Abraham was talking to God in that dream and was talking to him. God was saying, you know, Abraham was saying, you know what? I don't have any kids, and Eliza is going to be the one who's going to inherit everything that I have. And God said, wait a minute here. No. Your descendants are going to be like the stars. So he used stars as symbolic. Does he mean that he's going to get stars? These are his descendants. No, he means the people. So that's very symbolic. And right here, you see that God is not talking about some other people. He's talking to Abraham about himself. In Genesis 20, verse 1 to 18, again, I told you the story about Abimelech. And it was about Abimelech, what he needs to do. It's about him. It was not about somebody else. In Genesis 28, verse 10 to 22, Jacob had an encounter with God where he saw the ladder. You know the story, the angel going up and down. And it was about Jacob. In Genesis 31, you can write it down, because in your quiet time, go and read them. It's amazing what you can find. In Genesis 31, verse 10 to 29, again, it was about Jacob and God, the interaction that's going on between the two of them. God do communicate through dreams. And in Genesis 41 to 23, the cupbearer and the baker, was it about somebody else? No, it was about themselves. It was about the three branches. What did the three branches represent? 3 days. It was not the branches, really. It was the days. So he used symbolic things to explain about something else. And Pharaoh, when he had the dream about the 7 lean cow, the 7 fat cow, it was about him, really, what he needed to do. Judges, in 1 King, God and Solomon, when Solomon got the wisdom, it was about Solomon. And in Daniel 2, verse 1 to 49, it was about the statue hit by the stone. And that one, it was a secret that was revealed to him in a night vision. And that was not about Daniel. That was about others. Do you see how many dreams was about ourselves? And this particular one was about somebody else. Daniel 7, verse 1 to 28, there was dream about the beast, about the ram, and all these things. And this one as well, it was not about Daniel. God given him revelation about, because you know what, all of them would have been chopped. Because the king was like, you know what, if somebody doesn't come up with something, I'm going to kill people right now. So God revealed those things to him about somebody else. But most of the time, if you go on and on and on, like in Matthew, when Joseph was when the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, he said, Joseph, take Mary as your wife. What was it? It was for Joseph. It was not from somebody else. The Magi, when the Lord said, you know what? Don't go back to Herod. It was about them. It's about directional dreams. It gives direction. And often, like the dream that you're going to have, God is going to give you something that you have authority over. For example, Abimelech, he had authority over choosing not to take Sarah. So what happened is that, you know, as believer, we all know that we have authority as a believer. But often, if we are not careful, we can put ourselves in danger. Because what happened is that as a citizen of Canada, for example, we all have rights. You agree with that, right? We all have certain rights. But there are things that we are not allowed to do because the government has assigned the policemen to do that. So if somebody, you know, is speeding, you cannot just go, bum, 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 stop, stop, you're speeding. I have to stop you because you're wrong. You trespass, you know, you're not supposed to speed. I don't have the authority to do that. But you know what? I can always call the cop to do that, because if I do that and I stop that person, that is called harassment. A lot of time as Christian, if we do not understand that, and we think that as Christians, we can do everything. In fact, we can do everything, but there's an order. And the way it's done is that if we do not do it the way the Lord wants us to do it, we're going to end up being in trouble. And it happened in intercession, it happened in the prophetic word, it happened in dreams. Like when you receive a prophetic word, I said that the last time, it's like, you know what? We are like the messenger. If you receive a prophetic word, not all prophetic word need to be spoken to the person. But if you really, really feel like you need to tell the person, although you feel a little bit, you know, not too comfortable, and that urge in you is like, you know, you've got to tell that person. You tell that person. After that, that's where you draw the line. Because it is not your responsibility to see if the person does it or not. Because if you cross the line, that's where you come into harassment. In quotes. Do you know what I mean? So you just give the word and then you move. Exactly for the dream. Like most dream is about you, but sometimes you have dream about somebody else and you really felt like you need to tell that person, although you don't feel comfortable. And you know what? Pray about it. Ask God for wisdom. But once you tell the person, that's about it. A lot of people, people who are like intercessors, like very seasoned intercessors, or even prophetic people, like actually seer will see dreams and they will have vision of things. And you know what? Encourage you, ask God for wisdom. Wisdom is key in doing that because timing is also key. If we say it in the wrong timing, it might not bring the effect that we want it to have on our in our lives. So usually dreams, when God is going to give you a dream, you do have authority over that dream. And I'm going to explain to you a little bit later how it comes. So the principle of dream interpretation, most dreams are symbolic. 95% of dream is about you. The symbols come from the dreamer's life. You always ask the question when you have a dream, what does that symbol mean to me? And we're going to look at some biblical example. Joseph, in Genesis 37, verse 1 to 11, Joseph, he was a shepherd. And what did he dream about? He dreamed about sheaves, sun, moon, and stars. And those represent his brothers, you know? They represent something that the symbols come from the dreamer's life. Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel, what did he dream of? He dreamed of gold statue. Because why? He's a king. Where he lived in a palace. And what is he surrounded with? Gold statue and stuff like that. So that's what he dreamed about. And it represents something that the Lord wants to speak to him. Dream generally speak of the concern which your heart is currently facing. And, you know, you could ask yourself, you know, like if the day before something has really bothered you and suddenly at night you dream about that thing. It's important that you write it down and ask God, what do you mean by that, God? Because God will counsel you. And one good example is in Acts 16, verse 9 to 11. Paul, he was wondering where he needed to go. He's like, where should I go for my next mission trip? And what happened? The Lord, that was the night before. What happened? The Lord gave him a dream of a Macedonian man motioning him to come over. And what did he do? He did that, and a lot of people got saved. And that's the same thing with Daniel. In the book of Daniel, the king Nebuchadnezzar, he was thinking, you know what, my kingdom will go forever and ever. And then he had a dream of a tree being chopped off the root, and he had to make a few changes in his life, in his attitude, so that his kingdom was not completely wiped out, and he did that. So because he was concerned about, he was thinking about what is going to happen to his kingdom, and the Lord is teaching him. So when you dream, sometimes the day before, what have you been thinking of? And the next day, and that night, God could give you a dream, and it has happened. And once you know the thought of a dreamer's heart, it's much easier to interpret the dream. And usually when you interpret a dream, the dreamer, it like there will be a leap, a witness in his spirit or her spirit. Yeah, that's what it means. But you know, like, don't let anyone force an interpretation over you. You know, I really think that, you know what, this means this, this means that. And you don't really feel like that. Don't. Just say, you know, I don't really feel that that's the way it is. And you know what? It's okay for people to try doing that. It just, you know, we're all learning. Like, I would encourage you, if you want to start interpreting dream, do it with a very good friend of yours. Don't start doing it with everyone. Because you know what happened? Your good friend, she knows that you are you want to grow in that, and it's okay if you make mistake. But if you start going out and doing with other people, and you're not a seasoned dream interpreter, it might bring trouble. It's not very wise to do that. So get yourself a leader or your friend and say, you know what, I really want to start pursuing that dream interpretation, because this is, I believe, like, you know, if one third of the Bible is about dreams and visions, so God does speak clear and loud for dreams and vision. Why am I missing? What am I missing? Like, have there been time where God has spoken to me and I didn't know about that? So God will start doing that. If we start pursuing dreams, we will get it. If we start writing it down and asking God to show you some of the things, you know what? I guarantee you, He will. He will show you. And you'll be amazed. Like, often, like, times I have to make decision, and John and I, we will have the same dream. Or sometimes we'll have dream of the things that is going to happen. Why? Because God is not limited with time. He knows what's going to happen. Sometimes dream will foretell you about the future, because God can see. Time is not, He's not contained by time, so He can see. So sometimes God will show you things that is going to happen. It's just sometimes what we do is that we kind of, you know what, we just let it, it's just a dream, you know. Or if something is too far-fetched, oh, you know, just dream on. This is just a dream, or just keep dreaming. And we all do that. And so dream, reveal, and do not condemn. If somebody come to you and say, you know what, I really dream about you, and I feel like God is saying this and this, and you feel like a condemnation over you, I feel like you have to be a better Christian because there's something in your life which is not right, and this and this and that. You know, some people can have a dream about their neighbor going out with some other, you know, they're married and they're going out with some other women. And you know what? 95%, remember, 95% is about them. So it could be that something in their life is not too right. Who does their neighbor represent in their life? It could be about the neighbor, but it could be 95%. It's about what is it in your life which is not right that the Lord wants to speak to. Always go to you first and then go to the other person. If you dream about a person, a name, like if you dream about Joshua, or you dream about the name of a person, Charity or Joy, you know, very often God is calling your attention to the qualities that are seen in the meaning of that name. So when you interpret dreams, you dissect the dream. That's why you need to write it down. You dissect the dream one at a time. And you say, okay, what does this mean? Where was I? How was the emotion in that dream? What happened? What does this person mean to me? Sometimes when you dream of pastors, it might mean the spiritual. It might not have nothing to do with your pastor. It might mean the spiritual side of you. Or if you dream of the president, for example, it might mean authority in your life that the Lord wants to talk to you about. So people in your dream will represent characteristic within you. For example, you, how on earth did I dream about my ex-boyfriend? And the first thing that comes to your mind about your ex-boyfriend, that he was very, very rude. So you know what? Maybe God is, I'm hoping it's not, but maybe God is like talking to you about issues in your life, like rudeness that's coming out of your life that you need to deal with. And you're thinking, you are like thinking about that guy, but actually God is not talking about that guy. He's talking about the rudeness that's coming in your life that maybe you need to watch out, because it's creeping, it's going, the root are going far, and you need to make sure that it doesn't go too far, because then it's more difficult to uproot it. So that's how we interpret dreams, okay? And when you dream about animals, usually animals represent emotion. What does this animal represent to you? Like, it's very hard to say, you know, dog means this or dogs mean that, because you know what? Like I said the last time, dogs for some people might mean comfort because they have a puppy. They love their dog. For somebody else, dog might mean fear. Like, you know, if you were chased by a dog and you're scared of dogs, when you dream of dog, for you, it means fear. But for other person, it might mean comfort. It might mean good thing that happened. Snake, usually it talk about deception. Usually that's what is. Again, you ask God. Because some people like snake as a pet. I hope you don't and don't bring it to church. Some people do like snake as a pet. So maybe for that person, snake doesn't mean that. But for most of us, we don't like snake, right? So John won't have sushi, snake sushi. I don't think I will eat that one. So it might mean, like, you know, what does it represent for you? And what does numbers represent? For example, you get the number 6. Does it represent something? Usually numbers, it generally represent the identical number in real life. Remember Pharaoh, when he dreamed about the 7 cows, the 7 fat cow and the 7 lean cow? The 7, it stays 7. It was 7 lean years. The fat cow was the good year, and the lean cow was the lean years. So the number 7 usually stays 7. But the other part is usually symbolic of something else. Remember the cupbearer and the baker with the 3 branches? The 3 branches really represent, not branches, it represented 3 days. So the 3 usually stays the number or the same. It's the second part, which is really the symbolic side of it, where you have to say, God, okay, you'd say 3 days. What does days means here in that dream? So what, actually he dreamed about 3 branches. So what does branches here means? So branches in that particular case means days, okay? So the numbers are the same. And what if you get dreams coming over and over, same dreams over and over? It's like, what is happening? Normally, God is telling you, you didn't listen to the first one, I'm giving you another one. He's very patient. He's usually dealing with the same issue of the heart. He's telling you, be careful. I'm telling you, I'm giving you another dream again. And it's the same dream. Please deal with that. So you see, because so many of us as Christians, we've never been taught about dream interpretation. We think that we have to go to somebody else to interpret that for us. And sometimes it's good to do that, especially when something is a little bit off. And it has, by the way, everything needs to be conformed with the word of God, okay? God is not going to ask you to do something which is not, which is against his word. If that's the case, please toss it out. It's not from God. It's just your own interpretation. It has to be according to the word of God. So if a dream is coming over and over again, the same dream, God is speaking loud and clear. Please make a change in your life. This is something that you really need to do. What about nightmare? You get nightmare at night. What is that? Nightmare are usually the scream of an unhealed heart calling us to receive prayer ministry. I'm going to give you an example. Somebody got, the thieves came into their house and beat them up. And then after that, they start to have nightmare over and over and over again. Often, there is an unhealed part of them. And I've seen people, when they have a lot of nightmare, when they go for inner healing, the Lord will ask them, the Lord will show them what happened, and the Lord is going to give them a new picture. And once they get that new picture, you know, words is so powerful. Not words, picture is so powerful. It can speak louder than words. When the Lord gives you a new picture, often the healing just comes. Like, for example, if somebody has been raped and they start having nightmare, and when they go for inner healing, you know, in their mind, they say, yeah, I forgive the guy, blah, 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 and that's it. But you know what? When you take time and do inner healing and you say, God, Jesus, where were you, Jesus? And suddenly Jesus come and give you a new picture where he was. And suddenly there is something that's lifted off you. And you know what? I know a lot of people stop having nightmare after they get those kind of healing. Because nightmare, like I said, it's usually the scream of an unhealed part of our heart. And we all do have an unhealed part in our heart. I'm like, who doesn't? You know what I mean? As long as you live, you hurt people hurt you. This is part of life. But Not if you have a lot of nightmare, you want to do, you might want to really take time and look at that. I know little children who have nightmare, it's because then when we do some inner healing, like they will say, you know what, when I was little, I was so scared. There was a day when my babysitter left me, or I was beaten up by my babysitter, and you just have to do some inner healing. After that, you know what, no more nightmare. So that's one thing. And sometimes people dream of nakedness, and you're like, oh, I'm a Christian, I shouldn't supposed to do that. So you're ashamed, you don't want to, you're like, how can I dream about those things? A lot of time when you dream about naked things, naked people, I hope not to offend, but it's about God want to show you what are the things that you are vulnerable or exposed. So don't be ashamed of that. Just, you don't have to tell everyone, but you know what? Go to God and say, God, you know what? Why am I dreaming of that? What are the things that are vulnerable in my life? What are the things that are exposed right now? And you feel like you're ashamed of that. You know, like nobody wants to be exposed. And what are the things? So God is going to, like, a lot of time when you dream about those things, God wants to speak to you loud and clear. And if you have sexual dreams, often it talks about intimacy and union. And you know, like if you have, you see, like you dream about a sexual intimacy of two persons that you know in the church, you're thinking, what is that? You know what? Ask God, what are the things in their life that you're trying to show me that I need to have? Ask God all kind of questions. What do these people represent to me? What are the things that you want? A lot of times sexual dreams represent union, represent like intimacy. And dreams, dreams release creativity, a lot of discoveries and invention of food dreams. You know, the sewing machine, that little needle, if you check in Google, this was through a dream that a guy got. And the Lord, I would say it's the Lord, it's an invention that the Lord showed him where he need to put that. I believe a lot of the invention can be through dreams. And dreams, actually, it demand a response. If we always say, oh, it's just a dream, don't worry about that, I encourage you as of today to start writing down your dreams and ask God, because God is going to counsel you through the dreams. Be simple when you interpret dreams. Be simple. Do not over-exaggerate. You know what? Just be simple. God is a powerful God, but yet so simple. So sometimes we become so overly spiritual and we cannot go into, like, God wants to speak to each one of us, and he's going to speak to us through dreams. He's going to talk to us about a lot of things that's going on in our life. And every dream that you receive, treat it as a prophetic word. Like if somebody come to you and say, you know what, I really had a dream about you and I really feel like this and this and that and that. You know what? How you take, it's like a prophetic word. Somebody can come to you and say, you know what, I believe the Lord wants you to do this, 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 this and that. You've got to have that witness in your spirit. Don't make any major decision for dreams. You know, I dream that I'm going to go back to Mauritius. That's where I was born. And then I pack everything, uproot all the kids. Okay, I had the dream. It was from the Lord. I really felt like it was a really... And you know what? Sometimes when you wake up, some of the dreams seem so real. You're like, oh, really? I'm telling you, I really feel like when you uproot... And you know what? Maybe not. Maybe God is saying, you had a dream going back to Mauritius. I don't know whichever country you come from. Maybe if you come from a country where it means war, where it means there's no peace, maybe God is saying, you know what, in your life, you're going back into war zone. And you need to check in your life. What are the things that you need to change? Don't pack and go. Get confirmation, because I've seen so many people make huge, huge mistake, change ministry, change job, just because of a dream. Be careful, like get confirmation. Don't do this kind of mistake. Remember, dreams, as with every aspect of our Christian walk, it's about relationship. It's all about relationship. And you know what? I believe that God wants to restore dreams in the life of people. And I believe that God wants to... How many of you dream a lot and you remember your dream? It's about not even 10%. How many of you do not remember your dreams? You actually don't feel like you dream. But like I said, you know, the correct answer is that we all dream, it's just we don't remember, okay? So how many of you really, honestly, you do not remember your dreams? You know what? We're going to pray. Because I do believe there are different reasons why we do not. One of the reasons, it could be a blocking spirit don't want you to receive dreams and vision because of the things that God wants you to do in your life. And a lot of time, it could be from ancestors. In your ancestors' line, if the people, like, you know, in your ancestors' line has really put dream in a very low position, what happens is that the next generation don't get it. So what we're going to do is that we're going to do a little bit of ministry. We're going to ask God to start showing us. How many of you are very good with dream interpretation? You are very seasoned in that. You know, not many of us. Why? Because we haven't been taught how to do that, really. And I believe each of us, we need to learn. We need to learn how to do that. And we will start with our own life because God can and will. He promised that he will pour out his spirit upon all flesh and we will be able to dream and we will be able to see vision. Because many times, just like Abimelech, he saved himself from trouble, from a dream. Joseph was able to get out because of a dream. Can you imagine if Joseph didn't have that dream? Do you think he would take Mary? At this time, you don't marry somebody who is pregnant. That is a big no-no. If it was not for a dream, these things wouldn't have happened. Dream is powerful. You know, before in the Bible, when the king get a dream, they act upon that dream right away. But what happened for the time? When they have a dream, I mean, the king Nebuchadnezzar is like, I had a dream. If nobody can interpret that dream, I'm going to kill you all. That's what he said. And it was like, okay, you know, we're going to find something. Like, don't kill us, please. So let's get Daniel. Let's get all these people and the magician and having doing all these things. Dream need to come back to us as Christian. The new age flow really well in dreams. Many of them. Doesn't belong to them. It belongs to all of us. We need to take back what belongs to us. The Hindu, they do go into trance. They go into hypnosis and do all these things and go into the other world and bring the things, the wrong spirit. All things belong to us as Christian. We need to take back what belongs to us. And it comes with our own dreams. Do you agree with that? That we need to take back and start searching that. And you know what? Be proactive. Like I taught you, we can go on with dreams, go on and on and on. But start with now. Start writing it down. Start discerning your dream. Start asking God, what does this mean? For example, the last time I talk about, you know what? If somebody that died before you, you tell your husband, you know what? I'm telling you, your mother, I really don't like her. I'm telling you, she doesn't like me. And you know what? You've been thinking of that the day before. And then you dream at night that the mother-in-law is coming with a big stick coming and wanting to kill you. And then you wake up, you're like, I told you. She really doesn't like me. Now it's worse because I dream of her coming and kill me. It's confirmed. Your mother doesn't like me since the beginning. She didn't like me the first day she saw me and she's never going to like me. Guess what? You know what? It might not be the mother-in-law. What you've dreamed the day before, when you think about your mother-in-law, what do you think? First thing, hate. So really you didn't dream. It's not about your mother-in-law at all. Remember, 95% is about you. It could be it's about your mother-in-law, but 95% it's not. It could be that anger that is within you the day before is rising up and it's killing you. So the Lord is saying, if you start interpreting the dream and say, God, what does mother-in-law represent to me? And to be honest, mother-in-law represents anger. And you write it down, anger. That is very private between you and the Lord. Do you know what I mean? It represents anger. So what the Lord is saying is that anger is chasing you and is going to kill you if you don't do something about it. So please don't go to your husband and say, this is confirmed. Your mother-in-law really doesn't like me. So be careful with dreams. I think because we have made so many mistakes with dreams that we kind of scared about that. Don't be. God wants to change that today. Are you ready for that? There's always room for change. God is gracious. We all have made so many mistakes. You know, you will have some people who will come to you and say, I have dream about you and this and that. You know what? It's okay, because you make the same mistake as well. Be gracious to that person. Don't say, no, it's about you. 95% is about you. I'm telling you it's about you. Let me go in the Bible. I'm going to give you a list. You know what? Just because we all, there's a growing process for all of us. Like, you know, how were, like, just remember, how were you 10, like even 2 years before? And where are you now? Like, there are things that I can never, like, you know, 2 years before, first of all, I never thought somebody can come here and start, like, you know, sing and dance. I'm like, what is that? Years before, I would say, you don't do that in church. You have to be very proper in church. And you see people falling on the floor, and it's like, what sin is that? Is that from God? Maybe it's from the devil. But now, I know, like, a lot of time, it's from God. And sometimes, it's from the person with attention. You know what I mean? And so, like, it's like we've learned for the years. So, like, same with dream. You know, you will make mistake, and you will say things that you shouldn't have said. But there's God is a good God. He's a gracious God, and He wants us to learn from our mistake. Don't make the same mistake again and expect a change. This is insanity. You know, we want to change that. So why don't we just stand, and we're just going to do a little bit of ministry. We're just going to ask God. Because I do believe there is a spirit called the blocking spirit that stops us from having dreams. Because you know what? They know what will happen when we start having dreams. They know what is going to happen when God starts speaking to us through dreams and vision. Because this is powerful. And I believe that little children also, if they can learn it from a very early age. Can you imagine if the little kids can learn about forgiveness at a young age? They don't have to carry the baggage that they have to carry. One of the lessons that we're going to do with the little kids is that we're going to have a pile of rock. And then we're going to get them to put the rocks in the bag. And each rock that they have is in forgiveness. And as they start forgiving, they remove the rock. And the bag becomes lighter and lighter. Can you imagine if we learn how to forgive, how light we would have been? We would have been much lighter. A lot of the disease, we wouldn't even be able to come close to us, because we're on a higher level, the level of grace, the level of forgiveness. So why don't we just come before the Lord this morning? Father, we just come before you this morning, Father God. I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord God, that we shall know the whole truth, and the whole truth shall set us free, Father God. Father God, we thank you, Father God. It's never too late. It's never too late. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that you have come, Father God, to give us life, and life in abundance, Father God. We thank you, Father God. You are a God which talks all about relationship. You love relationship, Father God. You talk to us for the Bible. You talk to us for dreams and vision. And Father, we just come before you, Father God. We know that you want. This is your will. There's no way out. This is your will, that you want us to have dreams and vision. Each one of us, all flesh, each one of us, not a chosen particular one, Father God, but you want to speak to each one of us, regardless of our age, Father God. So, Father, we come before you this morning, Father God. And, Father, we repent, Father God, on behalf of our ancestors, Father God, who has not put dream as something important, Father God. And, Father, we just pray, Lord God, that we will not reap the consequence of sin, Father God. And, Father, we just command any blocking spirit that stop us from dreaming, remembering our dream, Father God. We just command it to leave, Father God, in the name of Jesus. We just pray, Lord God, that the Spirit of God will hover over this place, Father God. And Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy, Father God. We thank you for your grace and your mercy, Father God. And this morning, Father God, we ask you for dreams and vision. We ask you, Father God, for dreams and vision. We ask you to redeem what the enemy has stolen from us, Father God. We want to take back what belonged to us, Father God. You've showed to Joseph, Father, direction in his life, where he need to go, when he need to take Jesus out, Father God. You give him exact direction, Father God. And I know you can do that for us as well, Father God. And for some of us who are looking for direction, Father, I just pray that you will give them dreams and vision, Father God. I pray, Lord God, that we will be seasoned dreamers, Father God. We will not be people who will dream and make a lot of mistake over that, but we will be seasoned dreamers. We will understand. So we ask you for your wisdom. And you did that with Solomon, Father God. When Solomon asked for wisdom, you download the wisdom for a dream, Father God. So, Father, I just pray, Lord God, that you will download creativity. You will download wisdom. You will download your word, Father God, for dreams and vision. So just lift up your hand as a symbolic sign. As you say that, Father God, we just ask you. We just ask you to come. And you see the hands of all of us who's lifted up. Father God, this is a sign that, Father, we want. We want the dreams and vision. We want the dreams and vision. And Father, we just ask you, Father God, to fill us. Fill us to overflowing, Father God. Let the dreams and vision flow, Father God. Let we see open vision, Father God, even during the day, Father God. Let us dream dreams, Father God. Let us, Father God, understand that we want to have relationship 24/7 with you. And Father, I know we don't have control over the dreams, but you do, Father God. You are the one, Father God. And Father, we just ask you, Father God, right now, download. Let the Spirit of God just do that right now. Let him download. Let him download his presence in your life. Just quiet your spirit and say, Holy Spirit, just download. The Bible says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. So we ask you right now that you download. And Father, I just pray for those who have nightmare, Father God. It shows in the hidden part of our heart, Father God. And Father, I just pray that you will, Holy Spirit, you will show us what part of our life that need healing, Father God, so that we do not open door for the enemy to come to steal, so that the nightmare will have to go in the name of Jesus. The nightmare will have to go in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, will you show us what are the doors that we have opened in our life? Show us, Holy Spirit, so that we can close those doors, Father God, because it is your will for us not to have nightmare, Father God. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you that as we come before you right now, Father God, as we ask for dreams and vision, not only we are going to receive that, but our children and our children's children, Father God. You have spoken to non-Christian many, many times for dreams, Father God, and you have downloaded creativity. So, Father, even though our children are not Christian, we just ask, Father God, that you will download dreams. You will download creativity in their life, Father God. We pray, Lord God, for our sisters, for our brother, for our mother, father, Father God, that you will download that. We just ask. We just claim back what belonged to us in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We come before you. Let it come, Holy Spirit. Let it come, Spirit of God. Just fill. Just fill. Just fill. Fill each and every single one of us in the name of Jesus. Fill. If your kid is beside you, just put your hand and just ask God to come and fill them. Fill them with dreams. Fill them with dreams and vision. If your friend is beside you or your spouse, just pray for one another. The prayer of agreement. Just pray and say, God, download. Download, Father God. Download, Father God. We thank you, Father God, that you are for us and not against us, Father God. Just download those dreams from heaven, Father God. Directional dreams, Father God. Dreams that foretell the future, Father God. We thank you. We thank you. And Father, if you give us dreams about other people, Father, give us the wisdom to be able to communicate that with your heart, Father God. Give us the wisdom to be able to communicate those dreams to the other person, Father God. And rise up the intercession within us to pray for our brothers and sisters, and let the love of God just rise up within us as we dream about other people, Father God, that we are able to give our life as a living sacrifice, even though the other person may never know that you've spent a day praying for them. It's okay, Lord, because you see us. You see us, Father God. So, Father, I just pray right now. I really felt like many of us were going to have dreams, and it could be that it's for somebody else. And the Lord wants you to really pray for those people. So, Lord, I just pray, Lord God, that we will say yes to that. We will say yes to that, Father God, that we will spend the time and pray and intercede, Father God. Intercede for our nation. Intercede for our community. Intercede for our school. Intercede for our workplace, Father God. Intercede for our family, Father God. Father, rise up the intercession spirit within each one of us, Father God, that we will, Father God, we will give our life as a living sacrifice, Father God. Father God, you are a God who doesn't change, Father God. So I thank you, Lord God, as we come before you this morning, we believe that as we have asked, Father God, you will give. You will give, Father God, because this is your promise, Father God. So, Father, we thank you for this time, Father God. We thank you, Father God, that we can come and learn more about your word, Father God. And, Father, I just speak blessing over each and every single one of us right now this morning, Father God. Let the favor of God accompany you every day. Let the peace of God that passes all understanding fill your life and the life of your children and the life of all the people around you. So, Father, we thank you for this place. We thank you that we are able to worship you freely, Father God. So just tell God how much you love him. If you haven't had a chance, it's been a busy week. You know what? Just say, God, I love you. I love you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. So turn to your neighbor, greet one another, go and have coffee.
Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh,